All right, brothers and sisters, let's open our Bibles. And tonight we're going to get into the 13th chapter of the book of 1 Corinthians. And I think it's so wonderful how God truly is sandwiched between these two, in a sense, problem chapters, the 12th and the 14th, meaning the problems that these Corinthians were having with the gifts. And we read through some of them in the 12th chapter, and if the Lord tarry, we'll read through some in the 14th chapter. But there's no coincidence here that this chapter 13 is here, because it's the cure. It's the cure for all of the problems that were with those gifts. And let me tell you something, it is the cure for every and anything that we ever have faced, will face, by the grace of God. It's His love. His love will win. His love has won. And by His grace, may we just dwell in that love. But we finished there in the 12th chapter in that 31st verse. The last thing that Paul said to us there was, I unto you will show I unto you a more excellent way. And tonight, that more excellent way we're going to discover, obviously, is this love. Now again, this life is not about the spiritual gifts that we are given. And this is what Paul is really explaining to them. This life is about a spiritual life. It's about the love of God working effectually in our life. Walking in the Spirit is spiritual. And when we walk in the Spirit, and by the grace of God, when we are spiritual, there will be fruit produced in our life. And one of the most precious things that God continues to bring to my heart as I study this book is, you know, son, this truly is the fullest expression of the agape love. The agape love. Now, in the Word of God, we find the love that, again, Peter expressed to Jesus when Jesus was questioning him, Peter, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know I love you at the first. And that love that he said there was a filial love. You're my friend. You're a dear friend of mine. And obviously the Lord is a wonderful friend. He will always be a wonderful friend. But he was looking for so much more out of Peter. And by the grace of God, at the end of that conversation, he said, thou knowest that I love thee. The agape love came forth. So see, we have the filial love that the Word of God talks about. We have also in the Greek a love called eros, which is a romantic love. But the agape is the divine love. It's divine. And there's no one word that could ever explain this agape love. And there's truly no group of words that could ever explain this agape love. It truly has to be something, again, as Brother Hill so many times told us, you have to taste of that peach. You have to taste and see that the Lord is good. This is something that is so spiritual. John 15:9, it tells us that we are to abide in this love. And I found in my life, brothers and sisters, and I'm sure that it's the same for you as well and every child of God, as we truly abide in His love, as we fall in love with Jesus, we want to obey Him. You do. You want to become obedient to Him because you love, you want to please. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That faith comes into my life, and that faith allows me to believe the Word of God. It wants to obey in our lives. We submit to it. So praise the Lord for that. Well, let's get into the 13th chapter. First verse. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not charity or have not love, I am become as sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith, so that I could remove mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Now, I so appreciate that Brother Paul, as he is saying this, he's speaking of himself. He is included in this. There is no one that is excluded from this. We are all here, and I appreciate the humility that was in this brother's life. And I think it's very interesting as well, is that the very first thing that he hits on here is the tongues. And as we read in the 12th chapter and the 14th chapter that is to come, if the Lord tarry, you can see that this was the most magnificent gift to these Corinthians. They loved the tongues, and tongues are a wonderful thing. But they were magnifying themselves in that. And so Brother Paul immediately uses this to grab their attention. Okay, guys, this is something that you love the most, that you have allowed, in a sense, the flesh to bring out. But you know what? If you don't have love in it, it profits you nothing. Isn't that wonderful? He goes right to the heart. Brother Paul loved so through the Spirit that he was not ashamed and he was not afraid. And by the grace of God, the Lord had put him in that place again to correct. This is a wonderful book of correction, getting the church in order. And by His grace, we need to be in order. The Lord is coming. And by His grace, I want to rightfully divide the Word and I want it to work effectually in my life. I don't want to just be a hearer of the Word. I want to be a doer of the Word also. Now again, people will take that and they'll think, well, what do I have to do? Believe. Believe, because that's what he was talking about. It's not just hearing, it's allowing the Word of God to truly take control and take my life and bring me into that relationship that Jesus Christ wants me to have in Him. And it is so wonderful how God, again in His mercy, just does that in our life. And again, it's almost hard to be composed because I know but for the grace of God where I'd be. I know that that is not of me. I know that's not of this, in a sense, natural man whatsoever. That God truly got a hold of my life. And I thank Him for that each and every day. Praise the Lord. But then he goes right on to say about prophecy. And as we get into the 14th chapter, he says very early on, of all the gifts, go ahead and go after prophecy. Because again, that prophecy is such a wonderful thing. It's what we're sharing at this time. It's the Word of God working effectually in the body. It's edifying the church. It's promoting spiritual growth in all of us. It is so wonderful. But again, as he says here, I could have all prophecy. I could speak all this prophecy. But if I don't have the love of God, it's profitless. Isn't that amazing? Now, does it kind of ring true where it says, speaking truth in love? Speaking truth in love. And I love how the Lord brought that to me the other day again. Son, be in love with the truth. It's the same difference. His truth is love. When it's applied to our hearts, truly, it is the love of God. The Word is the love of God. Jesus Christ is the fulfillment. He is the everything of the love of God. He is the love of God. Praise the Lord. So again, he goes on to say about this prophecy. And then next, really, if I could have the comprehension of God Himself, of knowledge, of knowing everything, all knowledge. But if I don't have love, again, it profits me nothing. The motivation of life, brothers and sisters, needs to be love. Without love, there's not going to be truly the effect that God wants to have. And that's the effect which is His Son Jesus. And only the love of God will bring the profit to our life. I think again that He does call out in Ephesians there in the third chapter towards the end. And I believe that Brother Hill so led us so perfectly in that that truly is the high water mark of the Word of God. And in that third chapter, it does talk about knowledge, but it's the knowledge of a very specific thing. He says there that you would be rooted and grounded in love. That we would, as a body even, as believers together, that's how important, as we got through that 12th chapter, that we should have the same love one for another. That we don't love with dissimulation. That there's no hypocrisy in our love. See, if you're picking and choosing who you love, that's not the agape love. You don't have the agape love for certain people, and then I don't have the agape love. The agape love is the same love, period. It loves everybody. Because that's the love of God. And you don't possess that. And I don't possess that naturally. It has to be the Lord. War is in the heart of man. I want to smack you in the mouth naturally. That's the truth. And you do want to do that to me in the natural. Only the love of God and truly the agape love could get you to turn the other cheek. And that's the truth. And know that. And if you don't know that, you need to be on your knees to say, Lord, I'll tell you what, I need this humility. I need this humility. Praise the Lord. But again, knowledge, as we know, it says, it puffs up. But the love of God, it edifies. It promotes the spiritual growth. So again, he said that we would be able to comprehend, that we would know every dimension and be filled with all the love of God. So isn't that wonderful? Again, so direct and so clear to us that this is what we need to be after. Praise God. Now, in that third verse, it says there that we could be the martyr of martyrs. I could be the greatest giver. But without love, again, it profits me nothing. We need to be cheerful givers. That's the only thing that's going to get it done. If we are doing things in our Christian life out of necessity or duty, we've missed it. Again, the motivation needs to be the love of God. We have to understand it's grace and grace alone that is working in our lives. See, the grace of God, as He's been impressing upon my heart, is it's the love of God active and alive in my life. It's working there. And you have to think about that. That's the love of God. That's God's love, not my goodness, but the very love of God alive in me. Doing things that it's impossible for me to do. Doing things that is not something that I would have done ever in my life. It has to be God doing it. Taking the vessel, taking that clay and molding that vessel into something that's pleasing to Him. Something that He can will and do in to His pleasure. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Praise God. But again, now we'll move over to the fourth verse. And in that, we're going to find 16 statements here about love. 8 of them are positive statements. 8 of them are negative statements. But it's precious here. As I was thinking, we don't practice the love of God. And I've heard that said before. Well, I'm going to go practice the love of God. And I guess it just is. Isn't it just? It just is. When by the grace of God we yield our life to Him, it happens. It just happens. It comes forth. It's so wonderful. I praise God that I truly can be still and know that He is God. I think of it this way. I just sit back and observe the new man. And I just wonder and say, how wonderful, Lord. That's who You've created. Praise God. That's the new creation that You're establishing in my life. And again, we need to lay hold of that. But okay, let's go ahead and read the fourth and fifth verse. It says here, charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. Praise God. We'll stop there for a minute. So again, we see that charity suffers long. It's patient. It's long-suffering. It accepts the wrong. It accepts the neglect. It's never provoked to wrath. Again, as we talked about on Sunday, we saw that there was Jesus. He was upon that cross. And all He could utter at that time, in a sense, was, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. See, that's love. That's just love that pours out. Now, again, I've heard a lot of people when you say that, they say, well, that was Jesus. Well, I said, well, what about Brother Stephen when he was being stoned there? It's amazing how similar the words that were uttered. Not that he was dying for the sins of people. Absolutely not. There was one that did that and only one, and it was finished at that moment. But by the grace of God, it's the same love. And all he could say about those wicked ones, those were animals gnashing their teeth to kill him because they hated his Jesus. And all he could say is, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And what did we think about our boss today? Huh? What about that guy that cut me off in traffic? Kind of puts things in perspective. Brother Paul, the ones that would eventually call for his head, he said that I were accursed for my kinsmen. The love of God was so alive in his life that he truly loved everybody. It's kind of becoming true in my life. I'm starting to see it. I'm starting to see all those years of sweet Brother Hill telling me over and over, the love of God makes you love everybody. The love of God makes you love everybody. And it's the perfect love of God that makes you love everybody. Because it is perfect. And it loves everyone. Because it was the same love that God so loved the world that He sent His only begotten Son. Even that wicked one that is going after you in a sense. Maybe it's your workplace. Maybe it's the kids at school. I remember I had teachers that downright hated me. Now, I might have provoked it a bit. I wasn't completely innocent. But there were times I know that it wasn't me. It was just a spiritual thing. Now, I would have liked to have taken more instruction at that time instead of taking things in my own hands at certain times. But again, the Lord was dealing with me at that time. I understand who's for me. I understand that they hated Him and they're going to hate me. But I also understand that by the grace of God, I can have the same love and I can respond just as my sweet Lord, because that's the new man that lives in me. Don't doubt that new man. Don't, because that's who you are. That one that's easily provoked, that speaks out of turn, that gets angry easily and all that, that's not you. I see some husbands and wives turning to each other and said, "Oh, yes, that is." No. No, that's not your dear brother or sister in the Lord. You're new. You're holy and righteous. When He said incorruptible seed, absolutely incorruptible, nothing could corrupt it. Isn't that wonderful? I was dealing with a lady this afternoon on the phone. She called up and it just broke my heart. The church, she had failed in something, I guess, I don't know. And they had expressed to her that she's hellbound now. Even though she was a child of God, she has done something now that is sending her to hell. And just totally in despair and lost in it. And I said, "Now, honey, I know you know the scriptures." I said, "Are you a child?" I said, she said, "Oh, sure, I was a child." I said, No. I said, "Have you accepted Christ as Savior?" "Yes, I did." I said, "What can separate you from the love of God?" She said, "Well, nothing." I said, "What about Romans 8:1? Is there any condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus? Is there any bit?" She said, "Well, no." And I said, "Well, I think you need to get fed somewhere else, honey, because that's just poisoning your life." But it's amazing that when we poison our life, and I could see the sickness that was really gripping her, it was almost like she was drawn to it. Drawn to be judged. Drawn to be condemned. But you understand, but for God, there go I. Do you understand that that is truly the nature? That you want some benchmark that you think you need to hit because that's my nature? That I have to be able to merit something? Or, in a sense, be able to blow something, I guess. But my heart just broke for her, and I ask that you pray for that sister. I hope to see her sometime. But she was awfully low. She says, "I sure don't feel spiritual." And I said, "Well, I don't know anywhere in the Word of God it says to go by feeling." Because I think each and every one of us, certain times, we don't feel spiritual. Like I've told you, sometimes there's times that the Lord will have me sitting still. I don't feel anything. But that's the greatest time of faith. Because it's by faith. If we were always down the lotus land of ease, like our sweet pastor would tell us so many times. If I was always singing from the mountaintop. If I was never challenged in faith. There wouldn't be any. That's for someday. Someday. But praise God, He knows the riches are being poured out right now. And the trying of our faith is more precious than gold. So thank the Lord. All right. So again, we understand here that this love is long-suffering. Now, the next one we see here is kindness. It's the giver. Patience accepts the wrong, but yet now we have kindness which gives and continues to give even when things aren't deserved. And it's always to our benefit. I appreciate Mom always saying, she said, "Now, honey, a soft answer turns away wrath." Okay? Now, I know there's times we like to be a little mischievous and to see how much we can provoke and get the explosion going. But truly in our lives, as we mature in the Lord, a soft, a kind answer, obviously, it turns away that wrath. The Word of God tells us to do good unto them that despitefully use us. And we understand, and I hope you do too, only God could do that. Only God. I know the temper that used to lie within this person. I know the temper that would be in there but for God. It wants to strike out. It's got quick things to say in this brain. But like I said, if you're one of those folks that says, oh, I wish I would have thought to say that, say praise the Lord. Say praise the Lord. The Word of God says, be slow to speak. Out jumps the poison. Allow the Lord to give you wisdom. And man, I tell you, I pray for that every single day. Really. Absolutely. And we need to. It's a sweet thing to have this kindness. Whether it was Jacob to Laban, I think about how kind he was. Sure, he was in love, but he was kind. I think about David to Saul's family. Anybody else would have went and wiped all that seed out. But yet, he took Mephibosheth there and he put him right at the king's table. He did good because that was God's anointed. That's what God's plan was. He said, I want to reach out and by the grace of God, I want to be the man of God. And especially as we're reading here is this Paul to the Corinthians. He could have just closed it up and said, you guys are such a mess. You know. I understood what Moses was saying when he said, just fry him, Lord. But no, he didn't say that. And praise God, I'm sure there was times he had to pray in his heart, Lord, make me the right man. Give me the right heart. And we all are there. Okay? So we need to pray for one another. All right, now, it goes on to say, love does not envy. Okay, that means love is not jealous. The Word of God tells us that jealousy is crueler than the grave. A good test, I like this one, is when one of our brothers and sisters are being praised for something, do we wish we were that one? Or do we rejoice for the one? As I said, we need to rejoice together. Praise God when that's going on in a brother or sister's life. See, what happens when we start coveting that attention, what can happen is it can turn into even something worse to where we actually want something to happen, maybe to have that person destroyed. Really brought down because that jealousy gets so awful that it can cause us, it's the cruelest thing. It is. Jealousy gone amok can kill. It can do things that we've seen it. I don't know if you've seen it in your own life as well too, and I'm sure at time to time, but ask God again to root out those things in our life. See, love, the agape love, is glad for another's success. And that has to be a mature believer. How about even when someone's success kind of overshines you? Maybe it was at your expense. Maybe you were up for that promotion or job, or maybe even in the meeting you coveted something. But the Lord, in a sense, and in a good way, but the Lord had somebody else to take that place. That was meant for them, and that was meant for you. Who was the glory really bestowed on in that moment? If you took it right, do you realize what glory that you just walked into? I'm telling you, sometimes when we're passed over in life, if we'll accept it, it's the greatest honor and glory you could ever have. The last is going to be first. The Lord's looking at that little widow's mite. I just think of that over and over. Nobody saw her. She was a nothing. My mom was saying, those ones that just brought in a handful of meal, that's all they had. But they were accepted just as much. And in some respects, I'll tell you what, there was more glory there than anything. He's looking for love and he's looking for faith. And brothers and sisters, I'm going to tell you, a lot of times it's in the lowly. And God has so sweetly done it that way. All right, going on. It says that love does not vaunt itself up. It doesn't puff itself up. We'll hit those together. See, the problem with these Corinthians is we've been reading, and again, I appreciate these brothers and sisters because they magnified every type of muck from every angle you could get into, from self-righteousness to self-deprivation to all of these different things about self. They hit it all. And, it's all lawful. Remember, they were into that. That was their motto. Oh, I know the Lord, so everything's lawful to me. But Paul had to say, yeah, but it's not all profitable to be doing that. And it's not. There has to be a temperance in the love of God. I don't want this liberty First and foremost, I don't want this liberty to stumble myself. But praise God, I don't want it to stumble a brother or sister either. And God knows this. So these are things, again, that the Lord was dealing with these folks. But see, these Corinthians, they were parading around trying to outdo one another with these gifts. See, they were trying to bring attention to themselves. And love never brings attention to self. And I was thinking this too, brothers and sisters. It's a great battle and a struggle as God increases us. And as we accept His truth, and as He works in our life and brings this truth to us, the enemy is going to challenge you. He's going to challenge you to say, oh, you're something really special. There was a brother, sweet man, that I really do believe the Lord had started dealing with about the deepest things of God, bringing in the high calling of God in Christ Jesus in his life. He was seeing the bridal things, rejoicing in them. It wasn't too much long after that that he started giving his ear over to that Calvinist stuff. Well, I was predestinated to it. Well, whom he foreknew, he predestinated. Oh no, you don't get it, brother. He just chose me and he didn't choose others. They were predestined for hell. I was predestined for heaven. And I was predestined even for this. And I said, oh man, you're getting into things you don't even know what you're getting into. It's by the grace of God. And he said that all men be saved and that all would come unto a full knowledge of the truth. He's no respecter of person. He wants that to everyone that has ever walked the face of this earth, even though they don't. But see, that's when, again, that knowledge can puff itself up. And that is not the love of God. But brothers and sisters, as God does increase things in our life, as He increases this love or even natural things in our life, I'll tell you what, we need to keep laying it right back to where it's due, and that's to Jesus Christ. We need to be giving Him the glory. In everything. To God be the glory. Amen. You got a new job? Oh, it's not because I work so hard or whatever. To God be the glory. Huh? I didn't work so hard and I really was kind of a flunky and there was five other people that were more qualified. But I got the job? That's the easy one to say. To God be the glory, right? But that's the Lord. He puts up whom we will and down whom we will. I just want to be by His grace in His will to understand that. John 3:30 tells us that He must increase, but I must decrease. Christ in me is the hope of glory. And that's in every single bit. Nothing held back. Is your all on the altar? Is it out there? And praise God, I want it to be. I don't want to hide anything back or be selfish in any way. And brothers and sisters, to whom much is given, much is required. And there is so much humility that is required in our life. And it is complete humility. All right, going on here. It does not behave unseemly, this love. That means it's not careless. It's not overbearing. It's not ugly. The love of God truly rejoices in the lovely things. It rejoices in the good report. It rejoices in the true. I love that. We're going to get to rejoicing in the truth. But see, what he's bringing out here is a lot of times, a lot of people say, well, that was the truth. Not in a sense, we're talking about the truth of the Lord. Talking about the truth of a situation. Just because I brought out the truth of a situation doesn't mean it was the right thing to be talking about. You understand? Because that might be exposing something that God in a spiritual way in my life would have said, you know what? It would have been best off to cover that. And to not even look upon it, as we were saying, is that that sweet son of Noah's came in there. And not only did he cover his father, they went in backwards. And then they covered him. Isn't that wonderful? They didn't want to look upon the sin in any way. They didn't want to look upon their, in a sense, that was their brother in Christ. They didn't want to look upon their brother's failure. Sure, that's our natural instinct to do that kind of thing. To look at it and play with it and show it around. But that's not the love of God. That's not the love of God. When we get together, brothers and sisters, I hope that we get together to edify. We saw what happens when fellowship runs amok. You know, they were coming in there to take the Lord's Supper. And it was true. They came in there to take the Lord's Supper. Well, let's not just take the Lord's Supper. Let's have a love fest. Let's go ahead and let's recreate you know, the Passover that was going on at that time. Let's wash each other's feet. Like I was telling you, I met those brothers and they were telling me about the night before they were there washing each other's feet, and the one got mad at the other because he didn't get a wash first. And then the one got mad because he got to wash 3 feet, or 3 pairs, I should say, and the other guy got 2. I'm telling you, it was that crazy. But see, when we get together for the wrong reasons, believe it or not, you think, well, that's just stupid. Well, but for the grace of God, there go I. So that's why when we come together, let's come together by His grace in that love so it doesn't become something twisted, which was very rampant in this group of folks. So again, it doesn't behave unseemly. By the grace of God, let us have the testimony within and without. And again, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The Lord really gives us so many scriptures about this. And I am moving along a little bit through this. Lord knows we could take one of these and we could be here through eternity, couldn't we? But I hope this is blessing you as we go here. All right. Goes on to say, it seeks not its own. And this is such a key, because I really do believe that whenever there truly is a fall in our life, it's, you can always trace that one back to selfishness. The love of God is not selfish. The love of God is not selfish with God. It yields to the call. The love of God looks on the brother's needs. It looks on the other. It's not self-centered about me. And again, how magnified this was in the Corinthian church at this time. They were taking these gifts, trying to outdo the other so that all of the attention would go to them. I appreciate by God's grace when we get together. I really do believe there is a harmony in this meeting. And again, it has nothing to do with us. It just has to do with yielded vessels that magnify the Lord. That He's going to bring out when He wants that gift to be bestowed. How He wants that gift to be bestowed. Or if there's not to be a gift in a sense that we're more acknowledging of. But praise be to God, I believe there's always prophecy going around here. You ever thought of that? See, people say, oh, I want to see the gift. Let me tell you something. By the grace of God, how many years have you seen the gift of prophecy come through this place? Every single time those doors have been open. Oh, but I got to see healing. I got to see this. Well, I've seen healing, and it's a wonderful thing. I've seen my little boy's hand healed right in front of my eyes. I know he broke that hand. I know that hand was crushed. But I know the love of God came in at that moment and said, son, just pray for that baby. It's whole. I was thinking too, I can't be too descriptive because I'd never want to embarrass anybody, but I have a dear family member. And she's in another religion. And I remember she came to one of the family functions here in the church. It was a reception. And she came up to me and she said, now, son, your grandpa always used to pray for me. And this person's been sick much of their life. And she said, I know the Lord wanted me to have you come and pray, and to have you pray for me. And I just spoke before that happened. I said, well, I'm happy to pray, but I want you to make sure that you're not looking at a man. You're not looking at me. I have no power. But that you're looking at the man that has all power. And by His stripes, we are healed. Now, if that's the heart that we have, we'll go with it. And by the grace of God, it was acknowledged. And we prayed, and there was something that was going to have to be tested the next day. And I sensed when we prayed that the love of God, that healing came in. It was marvelous. It's a wonderful thing. I would be untrue to say it wasn't. And that next day, that test that showed earlier that affliction was there and that the surgeries were going to happen and all the new medications, the doctors couldn't find it anymore. Now, praise be to God. It's just praise be to God. Now, that's the Lord. That's the Lord. But I did have to ask them. I said, well, why don't you come and fellowship here then for church? They didn't want to go there. But see, at least there's the acknowledgement of the Lord. And I know that this person does know the Lord as Savior, so it's a wonderful thing. See, I got through that and I didn't have to mention anything about a name or anybody. Wow. Only God. All right. So again, it's not, it seeks not its own. Then it's not easily provoked. It's not angered by ridicule or disrespect. It's not caught up into principle. This was a hard one for me because I'm thankful how I grew up in all these different ways, but God had to temper that. I mean, there's a time we can say, well, you know, it's valor that I'm talking about here. This is a principle thing. I've got to stand in it. I have to make the defense here. God fights my battles. He'll fight that. There'll be times, I'm not saying, let me tell you something. People say, oh, well, Jesus was weak. Jesus was not weak. He was very strong. Absolutely. And it was just like Brother Paul. He had godly anger. Let me tell you something. When Jesus was in that temple, he had godly anger. Absolutely. Wasn't in sin, obviously. Couldn't sin. No way. But it was a godly anger. Absolutely. Just like Brother Paul. He had godly anger at those that he had given out the word of God to, that were following in it, that he knew that they knew better, yet they fell away from it. He said to him, you should be teaching this stuff. Shame on you. Now you have to be taught again. You should be eating the meat. Look at this. You've been feasting on this. I came out and brought this to you by the grace of God. And here you are. You're just feeding on milk. Finally, it got to the point. Who hath bewitched you? Was that angry? Absolutely. Was it godly anger? Unquestionably. It was kind. It was sweet. But then on the other hand, when he was being beaten for the Lord, when he was thrown in that prison, he didn't murmur or complain, did he? He didn't strike back. Huh? As Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Do you see the difference? I hope we do. See, the Lord wants us to stand and withstand. Praise God. But at the same time, we're to know that when we are in that suffering with Christ, that there is great gain. And it is an amazing thing in my life because I stand in amazement to see the new creation. Because I know it's God's when I don't retaliate. When I don't even feel the urge to retaliate. And it's amazing. I'm growing up in the Lord. And I just kind of smile. And then I also kind of think, you're touching the apple of God's eye. Amen. Yeah. Yeah. Not because of me, but just because of His love. All right, then it says it thinks no evil. So there we have this love that not only forgives, it forgets. It forgets. Like we were saying, maybe it was Sunday or whatever. Don't get the elephant memory about things. It forgets. The love of God doesn't keep score. I see that in so many couples' lives. Well, he did this, so I get to do that. Well, she got this, so I got to get that. We got to make this fair and no, it doesn't work that way. It doesn't hold grudges. It doesn't keep score. It just gives it to the Lord and it moves on. And praise God, it just keeps on loving. Next, verses 6 through 8 here are the qualities or the aspects of the agape love. And I really believe the Lord has been opening this up pretty much the past week that I've so rejoiced in that I hadn't seen it that way in my life. I praise God you have, but I hope you can rejoice in this. But this is bridal love. I'm telling you, it's just written all over it. It's just absolutely the sweet bridal love that God is putting in that worshiper that worships in spirit and in truth. All right, let's go ahead and pick it up from the sixth verse here. It says, again, this love, it rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. It endures all things, and charity, or the love of God, never fails. So first of all, here we have it rejoices not in sin. This true love cannot tolerate to be in or around evil. I want us to really think about this tonight, brothers and sisters. What do we rejoice in? Now, by the grace of God, I'm so thankful that the Lord would even convict our hearts to bring us to a Bible study. It's Wednesday night. It's hump day. We're tired. It's been a long week already. I'm ready to pack it in. I need to turn the TV on. I'm sure that Wednesday night is the best TV night. You know, the enemy knows that real well. Let's have the best programs on Wednesday night. You know, and I can't afford TiVo, so I can't replay it. Oh, no. What do I do? But see, that's the love of God. He's bringing us together. I hope we understand how valuable this time is. But see, the love of God, it cannot tolerate to be in or around evil. The love of God and this agape love, it tenders a life and it flees from evil. It convicts a life that it's uncomfortable around evil. Isn't that something? Are you uncomfortable around evil? I pray to God that we are uncomfortable around evil. In the things that displease the Lord, we don't want to have anything to do with. And I have to tell you, this is really bringing out the love of a husband and a wife. I appreciated watching my mom and dad and how much, again, they loved one another. But I watched my mom, so sensitive about the things to dad. She did not want to bring into that home or around my dad things that displeased him. Not in a sense in a spoiled way, but because she loved him. How much do we love the Lord? It's impossible to please God without faith. I want all that faith working in my life. I want that Word working effectually in my life. I want to please the one that I love. And how do I please Him? I got to break up the fallow ground. I need that Word to work down deep in my life, that it really brings me into that rejoicing. Praise God. And that's the next one here. It says, the love of God rejoices in the truth. This means that the love of God rejoices in the Word of God, is what it's talking about. It's rejoicing in God's truth. Love is kind, it sure is. But let me tell you something, the love of God stands and withstands. It stands in defense of the gospel. It's not ashamed of the Word of God. It stands in there and loves it. It loves the Word. It loves to hear the Word. It loves to adhere to the Word. It loves to continually be washed in the Word. As I was thinking today, it's the love that responds to the voice of her beloved. And I had to go back and read Song of Solomon there. And I was thinking there as I was reading, there His hand was right upon that door. And she was moved within, wasn't she? Isn't that precious? She was moved by Him. Does the Lord move you? When He speaks to you, does it just move you? I pray it does. But I pray too that I respond a lot quicker than that Shulamite woman. I didn't want Him to get out of, I don't know if that was chapter 4 or 3 or wherever it was, but we could have ended it all there and I could have just caught Him right at the door. But praise God, there were some things that needed to go on to, again, to have her know how much He loved her, to say, oh yes, He loves me, His desires towards me. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. So again, it rejoices in the truth. The love of God bears all things. This means to cover, to support, to protect. Standing in the gospel, covering the sin. Yet at the same time, there's times, brothers and sisters, we're going to have to rebuke and maybe disciple. But again, that's when led by the Lord. We are to support by the grace of God the truth and love of the truth. Again, that just brings back the thought of there in Revelation 3 about the Philadelphia church. I will make thee a pillar in the temple. I'll make thee a pillar. Standing hand in hand with the Lord. I just can't get that vision out of my mind. His glory bestowed upon both of us. Isn't that wonderful? Praise God. Let Him give you that vision. It's such a sweet thing. All right, the love of God believes all things. Again, I can't think anything but a husband and wife here. He cannot lie. He's honest with me. He's true. Praise the Lord. I believe it's truth. I believe in faith. It works effectually in me. He's complete and perfect. And He completes and perfects me. Now, praise God. I love how He does that in my life. He's all I need. We go on next to hopes all things. This is the life of faith. Again, it's impossible to please God without faith. I think of a couples in the natural. When my wife and I got married, we had dreams. We have hopes. And by the grace of God, they were in Him. And I've seen those hopes and dreams come true. Because by His grace, again, infinite grace, it was based in His Word. This is what it was built upon. Now, how much more so that our hopes and dreams are in Him and with Him individually? Are you building that hope with Him? Is He building that faith in you? This is the love that won't let me go. It's apprehended me. Am I apprehending Him? Are those the things that are building in your life? That hope? Praise God. And that hope is about to become reality. Don't need to hope no more once I see it. I'm there. And it's just about time. Praise God. He's almost here. Praise the Lord. And then finally, the love, it endures all things. It endures hardness as a good soldier. The Word of God tells us if we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. You're a child of God. And as a child of God, you're an heir of God. But again, He's so exceeding abundantly above all that we could ask or think. It does not stop there. He says, and a joint heir, if so be that ye suffer with me, that ye might be also glorified together with me. Isn't that wonderful? See, that's the Lord. That's the mystery that it talks about there, that we could be fellow heirs or joint heirs as man and wife with Jesus Christ. So again, this love, it never fails. There's no end. There's no separation. It's continuing. And I love how the Lord says it. Most people apply it to their married lives. And I thank God. I pray that by His grace I apply it to mine. But most importantly with Him, what God has joined, let no man put asunder. And He can't. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. I want to marry Him. I know by His grace that's on so many hearts. In this meeting tonight, I want to marry that wonderful Lord. I want to be ready for that call. I think we can finish this up here. Let's go ahead and pick it up there in the 8th verse. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. That means they'll stop. The prophecies will stop. Whether there be tongues, they shall end or cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly. Oh, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I even... I know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Now this is so sweet. I was speaking with that brother at dinner time. He was able to come here for just a moment. Brother Chris, so sweet to see him. His family's back there in Maryland. I know God is working mightily in that home, and it was precious that he even called, and we got to have a quick dinner, and he got about 30 minutes of church. So that was good. He said, I'd like to just get 30 minutes of church if I could. So praise the Lord for that. But as I said and was just encouraged, do you realize everything that we see, all this world, it's going to be gone. It's all going to be gone. The heaven and the earth is going to pass away, and the Word of God is going to remain forever. It's going to be here forever and ever and ever and ever. And even though by the grace of God, this word tells us that we have been called into faith. We have been called into hope. We have been called into knowledge. We have been called into all these gifts. Wonderful, wonderful. When we see Jesus, it's all going to be gone. A lot of people don't understand that. You mean faith's going to be gone? Well, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, and the things that are unseen, absolutely. The substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And we understand that once we see Jesus, my faith has been made whole. Isn't that wonderful? Not to be challenged ever again. Not to have any remote chance of fear ever again. Not a tear. Not a sorrow. Not to be anxious. Not to have rest continually. Oh my. What God is going to do. And it's about time. Hallelujah. And He wants to bring this to us. And again, brothers and sisters, I'm just thinking, you know, a lot of times we do enter into condemning ourselves so quickly often. But as the Lord encouraged me, He said, now son, if I didn't test you with things that were really going to test you or try that faith, it wouldn't be a trial. It's kind of like you've got to have things to overcome if you're going to be an overcomer. You're not perfect. Do you understand that? You're not perfect. You're perfect in righteousness and holiness, but you're not matured completely yet. You'd be gone. I'm still here too. Same difference. God's got to keep trying me. And He's going to find those things that try me. The only thing that He has asked, though, is as I am tried, as I am tested, lay Him right back on me, son. See, that's the overcomer. And I want to be, by the grace of God, a very quick overcomer. I don't know about you, but I think you do. When that unrest comes because it's something that's trying me, maybe it's my children that the Lord knows that I'm very sensitive with. And that's a sensitive thing to anybody with kids. As we said many times before, oh, it's easy to trust God for my life. But when it comes to my kids, you know, Lord, I've got to help. No, it's His work. It's His work. And by the grace of God, it's, I don't want to enter into that fear, because perfect love casts out all fear. And that's when He calls me and He says, okay, son, just give it right on back to me. Don't depart from that throne of grace. Just stay right there, because I'm sufficient for all of it. Isn't it wonderful? Turn with me real quick to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. We'll wrap this up. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7. It says there that in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Isn't that wonderful? The ages to come. It'll never be able to exhaust it. It's going to be the ages. It's going to be eternity. And it still could never exhaust that love and grace. And it's all undeserved. And by the grace of God, we're even going to need a new body, aren't we? Like unto His own glorious body, to even step into this realm. Because it's going to be a new realm. It's not going to have the laws that we think about. We're not going to be, in a sense, limited by gravity or the laws of physics or any of these things. I can't even imagine what it is, that realm. And that's exactly what the Lord told me. It hasn't entered into my thoughts or my imagination, my heart. No man has ever seen it. They haven't even heard about it. What God has prepared for them that love Him. This is exciting times because Jesus is about here. He's about here. I know we're weary, brothers and sisters. I know that we're pounded 24/7 by the enemy telling us one way or another that something else is more important. That the Lord coming in the air and rapturing people, oh, come on. It's been 2,000 plus years. Where's your Jesus? Huh? I just say, exactly what the Word of God told me you'd say. Can't imagine you're so stupid that if you wanted to defeat me, you wouldn't be just following His Word now, would you? They can't help but do exactly what He said. All of these different conflicts that are all over the world, Lord told me about them right here. Sometimes I think of, you know, Lord, if You gave me time, but I don't want to waste my time either. But I go back and You could pinpoint it all the way back. Huh? You know You could. Trace it all the way back to His wonderful Word. But we're about ready to step into something, brothers and sisters. Ephesians 3:21, I'll just quote a couple things. It says, throughout ages without end. Revelation 21 continues to describe the new heavens and the new earth. And the one thing that just excites me so much, the new heaven and the new earth, all it talks about is that new city, Jerusalem, the bride adorned. It's all about His love for that lady. It is. Go on and read about it. Thrill in it. All His glory is given to that wonderful, wonderful bride. The very glory of God. That's all that He can speak about. And by the grace of God, we have a glimpse now. But someday, can you imagine? It's going to be face to face. Yes, it's darkly now, but it's going to be made whole. And it's about time. It's about time. Praise the Lord. Think it could be this evening? I hope we're looking for Him like that. Yep. Yep. I hope someday there won't be any I know, but I'm sure there will be by His grace. Again, I haven't attained. I wonder where He went. And then maybe they'll remember. I remember those crazy things He used to talk about. But someday, brothers and sisters, I do think maybe the first things we can say after those millions of years, besides praise the Lord, is we bump each other and say, see, I told you so. Oh, I knew it. It was real, wasn't it? It was real. Just keep that precious hope by the grace of God. See, we don't hope like this world hopes, because it's real. And know it. Let's stand and be dismissed. Brother Chris, would you dismiss us?